You are listening to Standing in the Gap. If you would like more information, please visit us online at www.westendbsg.org. Thank you for listening and enjoy today's episode.
You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Welcome to another episode of Standing in the Gap. We're doing something a little bit different today. There's usually three of us, and we'd sit around a table and discuss the different topics. But today, it's just me. So if you listen for Charles, or if you're listening just to hear Brandon, then I'm sorry to disappoint. I'm the only one you'll be listening to today. And we're going to do a little bit different in that we're going to call this segment the Pastor's Study. And we call it that because in my study, it's just me, my thoughts, my heart. It's where I pray. It's where I study. It's where I plan. It's where I spend most of my time. So what we're going to do is from time to time, we'll do this segment where I sit down and I share my heart. This may be where we are different than most podcasts. This is what I hope, what sets us apart, is that we'll do discernment issues and we'll do controversial issues and we'll do theological issues. But here during this segment, we're doing pastoral issues, where it's just me sharing the heart of a pastor with the goal of helping people, the people that God has given me, and maybe a few others out there that aren't in my church that I may be able to help in some way. So today, with it being the week before New Year's, the last week of 2016, I thought we'd look at some New Year's resolutions and see how we can better ourselves in the new year. And I'm big on New Year's. I love it. I love looking back on my year of 2016. I love looking forward to what God's going to do in 2017. January, I think, was named for the Greek god Janus that had two heads, two faces, one looking forward and one looking back. So that's really what the New Year's is that we get a chance to look back on our last year and looking forward to the new year. And every new year, I'm big on to-do lists. I have one on my office desk every single day. So at the new year, you know I'm going to make a to-do list, and we call those resolutions. And I'm going to write down a list of things that I'm going to try to do to make myself better. I'm always wanting to get the best out of myself. I'm trying to get the most out of my new year. And so I always have some resolutions. I believe it's a good thing. It's what Paul said in Philippians 3:13. Forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Jonathan Edwards was a big man of resolution. He actually wrote down 70 life resolutions that he kept with him. And you'll see here, I'm going to read a couple of them. And I want you to notice, you see in Paul's quote there, what his resolution was. He's pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What was Edwards's? Edwards living in the 1800s, in America, one of the great preachers and theologians in American history. And here's a couple of his resolutions that he wrote down, and see what his focus was here, and maybe what our focus should be as well. He said, I'm resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Resolved to inquire every night as I'm going to bed wherein I have been negligent, what sin I may have committed, and wherein I've denied myself. Also at the end of every week, at the end of every month, and at the end of every year. Also resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. Just a couple more. Resolved to study the Scriptures so steadily and so constantly and so frequently that it becomes evident, even obvious to myself, that my knowledge of the Scriptures has grown. Resolved to strive to my utmost every week to be brought to a higher spiritual place and to a greater experience of grace than I was the week before. Lastly, resolved to live with all my might while it is that I live. Notice Paul's resolution. Notice Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. They were resolutions not for the betterment of self, but for the glory of God. So that's what we're going to start with, just to ask a question of you that are listening. What is it that you want in the new year? What's your desire? If you were promised anything in 2017, if God said, I will give you anything you want in 2017, what would it be? Paul wanted to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. Jonathan Edwards wanted to become a better Christian for the glory of God. Normally, we would do diets. I want to be a thinner me. A job, I'd like to have more money. Family, I'd like my family to be more secure, more safe, more loving, more kind. I'd like to get out of debt. Those are typical things. But how many of you can say that your main goal, your desire, your want, and your focus is something that is spiritual or biblical? To be a better Christian or for the glory of God? And I think that's rare, but it should be our number one thing. It shouldn't be to get more money. It should be get to give more money. It shouldn't be to meet new people, but it should be to reach new people. It shouldn't be success as a team that we might win trophies on earth, but it should be for success as a church that we might win prizes in heaven. It shouldn't be to be served, but to serve others. It definitely shouldn't be to share gossip. It should be to share the gospel. So yes, I want to do well physically, and I have goals there. I want to do well mentally. I want to grow in my knowledge. I want to do well emotionally and financially and with my family. But what good does any of that do if I'm not growing spiritually? Which is why I'm here. I want to help you be the best you that you can be spiritually for the glory of God. So now that our focus is on the spiritual, being the best spiritually we can be, I want to ask this question before we get into the resolutions. How are we going to get there? A whole lot of people will say, I want to be a better person. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to appreciate people more and not take people for granted. I don't want to sweat the small stuff. But in all honesty, those kind of resolutions are nonsense. It's too general. It's like my boys, big basketball fans, saying, I want to be a better basketball player. Well, the question must be, if you want these things, if you want to live for the glory of God and be a better Christian, or if you want to lose weight or become a better basketball player, you do that by planning. You do that by becoming more disciplined, by working. And that's what New Year's resolutions are all about. I want to give you four, and I want you to write them down, get out a pen, and I want you to take these down, keep them in front of you, or any of them, my four, your four, whatever you want to be, and work towards those things every single day. Make out a plan that this is how I'm going to live for the glory of God, or to be a better Christian, or to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. Whatever it is, it's going to take work. You just don't write them down. You work for them. You plan for them. You're disciplined with them. So let's go ahead and look at a few. I've got four just because that's all I have time for. I could give you a whole lot. I could give you mine. But here's the four that I think I want to focus on. I think we all should be focusing on this year. Number one, and this is different than you probably don't have this on your list. Let's shatter our idols. Let's completely get rid of idols in our lives. John Calvin said the human heart is a perpetual factory of idols, always leading us to worship something other than God. And he's right about that. People in the Old Testament, the Israelites in the wilderness, throughout the Bible you'll see, and history, that men have a constant heart that turns from God to idols. So we must constantly be evaluating our hearts to see if we are drifting into idolatry. And you say, what is an idol? I don't have a statue on my mantle in my house, and I don't bow down to it, and I don't pray to it. But an idol, biblically, could be anything that we put before God, anything that comes before God, anything that we love more than God. So in that definition, you may not have an idol on your shelf or in your home, and you know, I may not bow to it, and you may not pray to it, but if there's things in your life that come before God, that you place before God, that you love before God or more than God, then those things are idols in your life, and they must be destroyed, smashed. So what could our idols be? What comes before God? I'll give you a few. And number one, I think that, and here's where I want to do better, is our phones. If those aren't idols, I don't know what are. We keep them in our faces. We sit on our couches while our kids have their tablets in their faces. We are bowing down to our phones. We walk on the streets and notice how many people have their phones in front of their faces. How often do you check Facebook each day, or Twitter or Instagram? It's becoming an idol to many. Go to a basketball game, look into the stands and see how many are checking their phones and how many are watching the game. Go to churches and see how many leave their phones in the car or bring them into the sanctuary while the pastor is preaching and while the singing is going on and they're checking Facebook when they should be worshiping God. Let's make it a resolution this year to smash. And I'm not saying smash your phone. That may be drastic because we need phones. I'm saying spend less time on your phones. Spend more time with God and talking to God. Spend more time talking to your family than liking pictures of other people's family on Facebook. Let's put down our phones this year. Let's be with our family. Let's be with our God. Let's leave them in the car when we go to church. Sports can become idols when they come before God. Our family can become idols. I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard people say, my child is my life. They complete me. If your child is your life, then God isn't, and that child is an idol. And I'm not saying smash that child. I'm saying put God before that child. Your family, your job, money, your health, your body. All these things can become idols, and they need to be destroyed. Not taken out of your life, but our priorities need to be put in place where God comes before our phone, before our family, before our children, before our job, before our hobbies, and before ourselves. And you could be listening to me now and saying, well, that's not the God I have. He wants me to enjoy these things. Yes, he does, but that's the most common idol in our culture is an idol that is, we have a God that's made after our own liking, that we dare to imagine God according to our own ideas, that God doesn't care for me to do this, or God doesn't care for me to do that, or God is all loving, or God is all this or all that. He's like this and like that and doesn't care for this. The God that many so-called Christians worship isn't the God of the Bible. It's the God of their own making and their own minds. So resolution number one, and we'll move on. And now I guess you see why we're only doing four, is that we should shatter our idols. The second one, not only should we shatter our idols, but we should spend more time in our Bible this year. So number one, let's shatter our idols. Number two, let's spend more time in God's Word this year. And this is for pastors and preachers and evangelists and Sunday school teachers, any of those that call themselves called to teach God's Word. If you're listening here today, this is especially for you. If you teach, if you call yourself a teacher, if you say you're called of God to teach or preach, then your number one priority should be to study the Bible. Study theology, study doctrine, study books of the Bible. Stop studying the culture and start studying the Scripture. Stop looking for illustrations that are funny and start looking to what is inspired in the Scriptures. Charles Spurgeon said this, I do believe we slander Christ when we think we can draw people by something other than the preaching of the Word of God. Our teachers and our preachers are giving people in the churches gospel light and Scripture light and creating Christian light in our churches today. It's time for the so-called called of God to get back into the Scriptures. That's for people behind the pulpit. That's for people behind the desks. That's for people who open up the Scriptures and say they're teaching somebody. You better know what you're teaching. So get back into the Scriptures this year, teachers and preachers and evangelists. And then for the Christians, too, we need to get ourselves into the Bible. The Bible and the Bible Belt, which we discussed a few weeks ago, is too dusty. We read, Christians read, people in this culture read. We read devotions, we read The Shack, we read 50 Shades of Grey, we read Harry Potter, we read Twilight, but we don't read the Bible. There's something wrong with that. If your goal is to read this year, and it's more fiction or nonfiction, and not so much the Bible, there may be something wrong. And you say, well, I don't have time to read. Well, we have time to read. We just don't have time to read the Bible. We know more about Joe Schmo on Facebook than we do John the Baptist in the Bible. If you can tell me more of what's going on Facebook than you can what goes on in the Gospels, you have time. You just don't take it. And it's not that we don't have Bibles. I was in Lifeway yesterday. Went to the Bible section, and we have more Bibles in our culture than any other country ever has. We have versions. We have types. I saw a fisherman's Bible. I saw a military Bible. I saw a police officer's Bible. I saw a patriot Bible. I saw a cowboy Bible. I don't know if that, I don't know what that version means. It may be for God so loved Tony Romo. I don't know. But we have Bibles. It's not that we don't have them. This culture has versions. This culture has types. This culture has every type of Bible you can imagine in every type of language. You can get a Jamaican Bible. You can get a Message Bible. I'm not saying it's a good one, but my three-year-old could read the Message Bible. It's not for lack of Bibles. It's not for lack of time. It's not for lack of understanding. I constantly hear that as people talk to me and say, I can't understand the Bible. The King James Version of the Bible, which I use, was written on a fifth grade reading level. If you got past the fifth grade, then you can read the King James Version of the Bible. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, which I'm studying for the sermon on this Sunday, called the Spirit of Truth, He will reveal and help you understand Scripture. So it's not that we don't have time. It's not that we don't read. It's not that we don't have Bibles. It's not that we can't understand. It's just that we refuse to read it. You say, well, okay, I'll make a resolution to spend more time in the Bible this year. How should I do that? There's so many reading plans through the Bible, all these different things. Well, let me give you a little advice on how to read and how to study the Bible real quick. Number one, read what your pastor's preaching through. If your pastor's preaching through a book, say I'm preaching through the book of John on Sunday mornings or the book of Jude on Sunday nights or the book of Psalms on Wednesday nights, then I believe that the people in the pews should be following along with me. If your pastor isn't preaching through the Bible, find a new church. If he's preaching fluff and not teaching you the Bible, then you seriously need to find a new church. You say, well, I don't have a pastor, so what should I read? Then you have an even bigger problem. You need to find a church. God gave us teachers in the church for a reason. They are of the utmost importance to the church. You need, as Christians, God has gifted men, to teach and preach the Bible. And you need to be in a church to be taught. And if you're in a church that's not teaching you, then you need to find a new church. You say, well, I want more than what just my pastor's given me a couple times a week. Well, I'd advise going to Sunday school, great time to learn. And I'd also advise the Gospels, a great place to study. Study the life of Christ through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Study the book of Romans, probably the most important book in the Bible. It's been called the Gospel of God Himself. Or study the Psalms, a great place to study as well. But the key to this is God gave us one book, and it is everything that we need for life. So we, this year, ought to read it, study it, and do what it says. Very simple. Number three, these last two will go real quick. Let's do 1,000 little things better. Instead of giving you 100 resolutions or 70 like Jonathan Edwards, I know you have big plans and ideas maybe for the new year. You say, I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to get in shape. All these things that we want to do. I want to become a better Christian for the glory of God. All these things start with 1,000 little decisions that you make every day. If you want to lose 50 pounds, it starts with the little decisions you make at breakfast. Will I have a Pop-Tart or will I have fruit? At lunch, will I eat chips or will I eat yogurt? If I want to get in better shape, if I want to get stronger, it starts with, will I go to the gym today? Whatever it is, it starts with the little decisions that you make every single day. And as Christians, sanctification isn't one big step that we take. Sanctification being growing in holiness and closer to God, more like Christ, His Son. Sanctification is not one big step that we take. It's 1,000 little steps that we take over the long haul. Today, I will pray when I get up in the morning. Today I will read my Bible. Today I will refuse to gossip. Today I will, or I won't. Today I won't do certain things. Sunday, how about that one? 1,000 different decisions that we make. How about Sunday night, Sunday morning when you wake up? Today I will attend church. There's one small step towards being more like Christ. Today I will attend. Today I will give money to the church. Today I will sing when usually I don't. Today I will bring my Bible and I'll take notes. It's 1,000 little decisions that we make on an everyday basis that makes us more and more like Christ. So let's do 1,000 little things better. instead of one thing. And lastly, I know there's a whole lot of things I've said here, and there's a lot of stuff for us to do, and maybe all this makes us feel like failures or like it's too much for us ever to do, and it's hopeless and makes you throw your arms up and say, forget this, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. I've been there, and I know what you're talking about, so I'm going to close with this one. Let's, in 2017, rest in the gospel. I'm not here to make you feel bad about your 2016 or to give you an impossible task for 2017. I think one of the most important things we can do, which is why I'm ending with this one, is rest in Christ's gospel. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite preachers, he's passed on now. He said this in a book that he wrote, and I'm going to read it to you. He said, would you like to have a great new year? Then the first thing you have to do is say farewell now, once and forever, to your past. Realize that it has been covered and blotted out in Christ. Never look back at your sins again. Say, it is finished, it is covered by the blood of Christ. That's your first step. Take that and finish with yourself. And all this talk about goodness, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only then that true happiness and joy will be possible for you. What you need is not to make resolutions to live a better life, not to start fasting and sweating and praying. No, today just begin to say, I rest my faith on Him alone who died for my transgressions to atone. So rest today in the fact that your sins of 2016 have been forgiven. And the road in 2017 is wide open for us to take a trek, to take a trip with God along the way. And I will close with one last thing. One of my favorite sports personalities as a kid, and even as an adult, Craig Sager passed away this past month, after a long battle with cancer. And he was a colorful guy who covered the NBA for many years. And I admired the way he fought cancer and also the way he lived his life. And he spoke at the ESPYs this past year and said something that stuck with me. And I hope it sticks with us all. Here's the quote that he said, and we'll close. Time is something that cannot be bought. It cannot be wagered with God, and it is not an endless supply. Time is simply how you live your life. So may we all take advantage of the time that God has given us in 2017. And may God bless you and may His grace abound in your life in the upcoming year.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you'd like more information, please visit us online at www.westmbsg.org. We hope you will join us next time for another episode of Standing in the Gap. You've got to stand for something. On the string, never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something.